Hey there, it's Coach Steph. Let's start with our meditation and get right into our lesson for the day.
Transformation, it started in my mind. Transformation, it moved to my soul.
All right, grab your tea and your coffee and let's get started. Let's jump right into the universal law of correspondence. I love this universal law, and so we're going to start with the definition and keep going. Life is the ultimate mirror of consciousness. This is the concurrence of the creative process. The spiritual realm through the mental realm to the physical realm reflected back into consciousness. Your beliefs set this law into motion, creating the feeling, the emotions, and the circumstances of your life. Your ability to manifest and demonstrate are in direct correlation to your ability to provide a mental equivalent within your mind and soul. For every belief, there is an indistinguishable comparable in the physical form. The outer world is a reflection of the inner world. As within, so without. So let's examine this from a metaphysical perspective using my mentor, Dr. Aaron Haskell's book, The Awakening. So we're going to be talking about emptying your cup and releasing fear. Emptying the cup is a spiritual concept designed to aid you in understanding the need to let go of previous restrictive preconceptions and constructs that potentially limit your capacity to embrace your core truth and connect with your innate spirituality. It is not simply a matter of emptying the cup in your mind. It requires you to address all aspects of your life, to embrace your full transformation and your awakening. It is a place where the holistic symphony of body, mind, and spirit unite in truth, free from learned doctrine and humanized construct. This work, in its very nature, is often counterintuitive, as it is not only in the learning that you are transformed, but also in the unlearning that the truth is revealed. Human beings are systematically and historically taught the understanding of our established physical world, primarily via textbooks, family beliefs, cultural patterns, and through the media. We are raised with linear, rational, and dogmatic practices. Spiritual recovery asserts a variant perception of life where you are responsible for your own limited belief system, ideas, opinions, and viewpoints, which often prevent you from gaining new wisdom. You are literally held prisoner by your own constructs. When you release your perceptions, fixed ways of thinking, and your learned identities, you can feel as if you are jumping off a cliff, not knowing where or when you will land. You are often afraid to completely let go of something until the next best thing has presented itself. You get stuck, confused, frustrated, and sad because you are attached to living inside of a box, despite knowing that there is an entirely different world for you to explore. You have the possibility of anything and everything, but first, you must be willing to have nothing at all. Divinity work leads to unleashing that which is already inside of you. It is the gemstone at the base of a cup, often lost and covered, buried beneath a deceptive mirage of clutter. The ultimate truth is within. However, it cannot emerge until all the limited ideas which have led you to perceive the way life is based on what you visually see and experience are released and emptied from your consciousness. It is then that you are free to walk with the sages, the saints, and the mystics. So that is the importance of emptying the cup. It's because we have to unlearn what was taught so that we can reveal the truth and then begin to truly experience our life through the divine beings that we are. Now I want to give you a few examples of how this universal law applies in life as we know it. So as I personally progress, expand, and evolve on my own spiritual mastery masterclass called Life, I am finding that my lane of contribution is going to be in the realm of belief, specifically the work of helping people develop beliefs based on truth as opposed to those constructed by the ego or the false self. This universal law is essentially the law of belief because it is our beliefs that set this particular law into motion. The easiest explanation I can give is what we stated at the end of the definition of this law, as within, so without. This simply means that the essence of your beliefs are what form the mental equivalent within your mind and soul. That mental equivalent is what then takes form in your life through circumstances. I did a live video teaching called Belief or Bullshit a few weeks back, where I was teaching that the words we speak do have power, but the belief behind the words actually produce the result or the effect of our life. Here's how. Beliefs become thoughts. Thoughts become feelings. Feelings become emotions. Emotions create circumstances, and circumstances create patterns. But did you notice? Everything starts with belief. Long before we ever utter a word, there had to be a belief that backed that thought, which created the feelings, emotion, and circumstances of our life. So, for example, if you have a life that is very restrictive, draining, and low in quality, then there has been a pattern of circumstances produced by emotions, feelings, and thoughts of lack, poverty, and low productivity that stemmed and originated from a distorted belief. On the other hand, if you have a life full of healthy relationships, peace, and prosperity, that means that there has been a pattern of circumstances produced by emotions, feelings, and thoughts of love, joy, and abundance that stemmed and originated from truth. It's not just what you think about you bring about. It's also the belief behind what you think about. That is what determines what you bring about. And it is always your choice. The work comes in when we discover that our beliefs are distorted. Then we have to decide to reprogram our belief system by reprogramming our subconscious mind. So now let's examine this universal law from a biblical perspective. Today, we just have one Old Testament reference and one New Testament reference. The Old Testament reference is quite long. I will give you the entire passage for your study, but I'm only going to read a select few verses and expound on them for time's sake. The New Testament passage is actually a biblical example of the power of belief and the working of this universal law in action. So let's jump into the Old Testament. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 12. So for your reference of study, I want you to read the entire chapter 12 in the book of Proverbs. But for today, I'm just going to read verses 14 through 20. So in this passage, the writer is contrasting the upright beliefs, which are backed by truth, versus the wicked beliefs, which is backed by a lie. So in verse 14 says, "A man will be satisfied with good from the fruits of his words, and the deeds of a man's hand will return to him as a harvest." Verse 15 says, "The way of the arrogant fool who rejects God's wisdom, higher consciousness, is right in his own eyes. But a wise and prudent man is he who listens to counsel." Verse 16, "The arrogant fool's anger is quickly known because of the lack of self-control and common sense. But a prudent man ignores an insult." Verse 17, "He who speaks truth tells what is right, but a false witness utters deceit." Verse 18, "There is one who speaks rashly like the thrusts of a sword, but the tongue of the wise bring healing." Verse 19, "Truthful lips will be established forever because the truth lives in the one mind, but a lying tongue only for a moment. Anything that is divisive, people, will not last long. The only thing that lasts is oneness and love and divinity and beauty and abundance and prosperity, all of the things that we created. Number 20, deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. So in each verse, there's both sides of the coin, and it is the belief system that will produce the mental equivalent, which then produces the outpicturing or the circumstances. So I'll take verse 20. Let's just take the last verse. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. So the belief of deceit outpictures a heart that devises evil. Anything that is not love is divided. So don't get hung up on the word evil. We can replace that with lack. We can replace that with divide. We can replace that with, you know, poverty. We can replace that with, you know, anything that is not love and oneness. But counselors of peace, that means people who counsel, people who help, people who come from a peaceful belief system, knowing that all things are already perfection, knowing the law of pure potential, knowing the law of polarity, knowing the law of, you know, cause and effect, understanding these universal laws, because see, when you understand truth, there is peace, and peace begets joy. Got it? So that is how it's showing up in the Old Testament. And I really want you to go back and really look at this. There's some really, really specific dynamics that I think will help you get this universal law of correspondence. So now let's hop over to the New Testament. Now, in this particular example, we're going to be talking about when Christ calms the sea. And we're coming from Mark 4, verses 35 through 40. Again, Mark 4, verses 35 through 40. On that same day, when evening had come, he said to them, the disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee." So leaving the crowd, they took him with them, and just as he was in the boat, and other boats were with him. And a fierce windstorm began to blow, and waves were breaking over the boat, so that it was already being swamped. So water was coming into the boat. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep, with his head on the sailor's cushion. And they, the disciples, woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are about to die?" And he got up and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." Or in another version, "Peace, be still." And the wind died down and there was a great calm. And then Jesus looked at them and said, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith and confidence?" I love this example of the law of correspondence. I have heard this passage taught and preached hundreds of times over, but never have I heard it taught from a consciousness perspective. It's usually taught in the vein of a miracle, but I wanted to invite you to look at it from a perspective of truth using this universal law. Not one time did Christ mention a special formula or magic spell to getting the sea to calm. He simply spoke with authority to it and said, "Peace, be still." In order for that circumstance to immediately happen, think about the pure level of inner peace and calmness that had to seed his belief. He was already asleep, which showed that he physically embodied a level of peace and calmness that the others did not have. Perhaps it's because of their prior experience with storms on the sea that created a sense of fear, which then created panic on the boat. Are you seeing how their circumstances was panic and it was birthed out of fear? But one thing is very clear, Christ's faith and confidence in his ability to control his circumstance by having beliefs backed by truth was immediately made evident in this passage. Because of his belief in universal law of pure potential, universal law that everything is perfect, and that everything is calm because everything is one and everything is love. So there is no division in the one mind. And so the consciousness of Christ invites us to think that if you come from the place of oneness, and if you can see that in your belief system down into your gut, past your words, past your thoughts, past your emotions, but in the thing that seeds all of those in your belief system, you can calm the sea. Because calmness is the belief system backed by the truth, not fear, not the lie of fear. So my gift to you today, as I wrap up, is to tell you that you and I have the same ability as Christ did to calm the seas of our lives. Before I go, I want to invite you to practice accepting and understanding the law of correspondence by emptying your cup. Look at your life today and identify which beliefs, viewpoints, and considerations no longer serve you. Remember at the beginning, I read from my mentor's book, it's about emptying out the old belief systems that were backed by the lie of your ego, so that the truth of who you are, based in universal law, based in oneness, based in divinity, can emerge. And the life that you desire from a soul level can then begin to take manifest in physical form. So there are four things that I want you to consider. The first thing is, what beliefs have you filled your cup with that are not allowing new possibilities to come into your life? Second thing I want you to consider is, what limiting beliefs are you ready to let go of? The third consideration is, what are your greatest fears? Is it fear of public speaking? Is it fear of being judged? Is it fear of failure? Fear of rejection? Fear of success? And the last consideration, which of these two do you fear the most? Fear of losing what you value or fear of not getting what you want? These are some strong considerations, guys. And I really want you to get a journal. And hopefully you're journaling already on this journey. But if not, this is a great week to go out and get a journal. Really write these things down. Because until you get a belief system backed by truth, backed by oneness, backed by love, backed by law, backed by divinity, then the circumstances of your life will continue to be what they are. I say this all the time, and I'll say it again today. Einstein said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results. I want to offer to you that having the same belief system backed by the lie of the ego, backed by the lie of fear, backed by the lie of poverty, the lie of lack, the lie of limits, all of those lies will continue to yield the life that you have. So what would you gain from evolving your belief systems from truth, emptying out the lies and discovering the truth and having beliefs that are backed by truth? I offer to you that the universal law of pure potential will then become manifest in your life. The universal law of perfection, the universal law of laws of cause and effect, of polarity, of relativity, of correspondence, of all the ones that we've discovered so far and the other ones that we have yet to discover will become such forces in your life that your life has to outpicture and it has to take form based on your belief system. I hope this has been enlightening and informational for you. If so, please consider subscribing and sharing this podcast with 5 people that you think can benefit from these teachings. May you see the beauty in your beliefs and how they correspond to your life all around you today and every day going forward. Until next week, walk in love and truth. Love you much. Coach Steph. Bye-bye.